Sadar zeichen nicht bei Chesach Scharen beim Yehudim und sagt, ich suche bis darf mit dem Ches. Mischa sagt, bei Yehudim immer viele Onish bei Yisrael v'chulu. Wenn man, it seems that the Tanakam holds that these people don't have to be hired for the funeral of a wife. But what's the case? If it's her custom to have this amount of people, why would the Tanakam say that it's not needed to be brought by the husband? And if it's not her custom, why would Rabbi Yehuda say that they are needed? Mara says the case is where it's customary for someone of his status, but not for someone of her status. Tanakam says, when we say a husband has to elevate his wife to his status, that's only during her lifetime. Rabbi Yehuda says it's even after her lifetime. Rabbi Chisna Neymar Ukva also said, if a man becomes insane, Bezin takes over his affairs and provides support for his wife, for his sons and daughters, and for quote-unquote something else. Ravina asked Rashi, why is it this different than the Braisa that said if someone traveled overseas without leaving support, Bezin goes into his properties to provide support for his wife, but not for his sons, daughters, or something else? Ravashi said, because when someone leaves intentionally without leaving support, we only do what he's obligated to do. When he becomes insane, we try and think what he would have wanted to do in this situation. What does it mean, something else? Rav Chisna said it refers to jewelry and perfume for his wife. Rabbi Yosef said it refers to giving tzedakah from his money. According to Rav Chisna, if we don't give the wife these items when he's traveling, we certainly won't give tzedakah from his money. According to Rabbi Yosef, although we don't give tzedakah from his money, we would give his wife these items because we assume that he doesn't want his wife to become disgusting. Zakhmar of Chibar Oven, in the name of Huna, said, if one's wife died while he's traveling overseas, Bezin uses his money to provide for a befitting burial for her. The Gemara explains this to mean that it's befitting for her and for him. This teaches, again, like we learned before, that she's elevated to his status even after her death. Rav Masna said, if a man is on his deathbed and he says that when my wife dies, don't bury her with my funds, we listen to him. In fact, after his death, his funds belong to his heirs. So clearly, we wouldn't use it to bury his wife. So why does he have to even say so? Rav Masna must have meant that if someone says about himself, he's on his own deathbed and he says about himself, he doesn't want to be, he'll use his own money for his own burial, we don't listen to him. Because we don't make him a public burden just because he's looking to save money for his heirs. Zakt the Mishnah, a bride is always treated as being in the jurisdiction of her father until she enters the jurisdiction of her husband with Nesuin. Zakt the Mishnah, if the father gives her over to the messengers of the husband who will take her to the husband's house, then she's considered to be in the husband's rishos. If the father went along with them, or if the father's messengers went along with the messengers of the husband, then she remains in her father's rishos. If the father's messengers gave her over to the husband's messengers, she is then in the husband's rishos. Frekt Gemara, what's meant by the Mishnah when it uses the word always? Mar says it comes to argue on an earlier mission that says that if the time for Nesuin arrived and Nesuin didn't take place, the husband has to support her, and if he's a Kayin, she may even eat Truma. Our mission is teaching that she may not eat Truma until she actually enters the husband's Rishus. The Mishnah said, Mosar ha'av l'shluchei habal, harehi b'rishus habal v'chulu. Rav said this puts her in the husband's rishus in all respects, except that it does not entitle her to eat truma if he's a kohen. Rav Asi said that it even allows her to begin eating truma. Fact the Gemara, Rav Huna, or maybe Chia by Rav, asked Rav Asi, we learn that our Mishnah suggests that she does not begin eating truma until she has gone actually to the chuppah. So Rav answered, it may be that the giving over of the girl to the husband's messengers is treated the same as if she was given over to the chuppah for purposes of truma at least. Shmuel said the giving of the girl to the husband's messengers is effective with regard to his inheriting her if she were to die at this point in time. Shlokesh said it's effective in regard to the ksuba. What does that mean? It's effective in regard to the ksuba. So Ravina said this means that if he were to die at this point and she would get remarried, she would only be entitled to a ksuba of 100 from the next husband because she's considered to be living with him. She's not considered to, doesn't get the ksubas of basula anymore. Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Chanina said it's effective in all respects, including allowing her to eat truma. Fekmar Braisa says if the father accompanied the girl with the husband's messengers, or if the father's messengers accompanied them, or if she had a house that was along the way and the couple spent the night there, so even if the dowry was already in the husband's house, if she were to die at that point, the father would inherit her. However, if she was given over by the father to the husband's messengers, or by the father's messengers to the husband's messengers, or if the husband had a house that was along the way and the couple spent the night there with the intent for Nesuin, so even if the dowry was still in the father's house, if she were to die at that point, the husband would inherit her completely. The Bryce ends off that this is all in regard to inheritance, but in regard to eating truma, she may not do so until she enters chuppah. This is problematic to all views besides that of Shmuel, Zakhmart, and Echanami, to Yufta of all the other views. The Bryce says that if it was her house and they entered with intent to spend the night, but not for Nesuin, it does not effectuate in Nesuin. This suggests that if they had no intent at all, it would effectuate in Nesuin. The Raisa then says, if it was his house and they entered with intent for Nesuin, it effectuates in Nesuin. This suggests that if there was no intent at all, that it would not effectuate in Nesuin. The Mashmois seem to be soiser each other. The Rav Ashi said, both cases are without any specific intent. The Raisa is teaching that without specific intent, if it's her house, we say that they didn't enter for Nesuin. to take place. And if it's his house, we say that they went in with the intent for Nisuin to take place. A Braisa says, if the father gave her over to the husband's messengers, and she then was Mizana, she would be put to death with Chenek, like a woman who had already entered Nisuin. Rav Ami Bar Chama explained, this is learned from the pasuk that says, Liznois base of Viho, the girl is no longer in her father's house, and therefore would not get Skila, like the pasuk over there discusses, rather she'd get Chenek, like a fully married woman. This pasuk is teaching that a girl who entered Chuppah, but did not yet have Bia and Mizana would get Chenek, but not the girl described above, that just was given over to the husband. So Rava said, we know that from the pasuk. The pasuk says, Nara Basula Me'irasa would get Skila. So we learn like this. Nara teaches that a Beger is not included. Basula teaches that a Ba'ula is not included. And Me'irasa teaches that a Nasua is not included. Now a Nasua is a Basula. I'm sorry, is a Ba'ula. So it's the same thing. We're talking about a girl who went to Chuppah and did not yet have Bia. We see that such a girl doesn't get Skila. So we know this already from the pasuk. So the other pasuk must therefore be teaching regarding a girl who was given to the messengers of the husband that she also doesn't get Skila at that point in time. She's Mazana. Rather, she will get Chenek.